what went through your mind when you saw that ball hit the wall in center field? Like, you looked like you were thinking triple all the way.
Yeah, I think, right after I hit it, I just had a feeling that it wasn't going to go out. But I think if I wasn't a triple shy of it, I would have probably been watching it more, maybe hoping it was going to go over the fence. But, after I hit it, I was like, all right, here's my chance to do it. So, I put my head down and, ran as hard as I could.
So needless to say, you were aware. Obviously, you're aware that you needed the triple for the cycle. Were you talking to the guys in the dugout before? Was there a bit of chatter about that, the possibility?
Honestly, not really. Only person that really said anything about it was Vladdy. He came up to me in like I think it was the eighth or ninth or so, and he said, "Hey, if you get up again, just hit a triple, okay?" I was like, "All right,
just hit a triple."
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll try and place it. Yeah, that's not a triply kind of ballpark either. There's not like there's little weird corners or nooks and crannies there. It's a bandbox. It's not these unless a guy runs into the wall, which also happened.
Yeah, I mean, very unfortunate what happened to Williams, but I mean, I'll take it. I mean, like you said, it's a pretty small ballpark in general. Not many places where you can hit it to get a triple. Maybe get a friendly hop from side of a wall or the fence, but yeah, I mean, kind of a crazy play. He went out there trying to make a play and helped me get the triple.
Yeah, it looked to me too as well as if you're going into second base, you almost took out the second base umpire, and it looked like the third base umpire was was kidding you about that when you were in the bag. He was motioning to sort of get out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, in between first and second, I was just kind of focused on where the ball was and trying to get to third base, and the umpire was in my way, and I just gave him a little stiff arm to kind of push him out of the way. And we didn't get to third base, things settled down. He walked over and apologized. And third base, Louis Romero was like, "Hey, you almost messed up the cycle." He goes, "What? Did you just hit for the cycle? And he was like, "Man, I'm so glad I didn't mess that up. That would have been terrible PR for me."
That's great.
Well, it's a weird, it is a weird kind of, the cycle's kind of a weird random kind of record. It's a very baseball thing, but as you know, you're one of only three guys in the history of the franchise to do it, so congratulations. I was saying to Jeff before we came on, though, as impressive as it was watching you do that last night, especially hitting the triple on your last at-bat, I think from a baseball point of view, I was as impressed with watching you steal third base in a situation that turned out to be an important situation in that game. Your base stealing abilities, I think, are something that that's opened some eyes around here. And I'm wondering about, how you learned. We're talking about this before you came on, Kevin. It's not just about being a burner, straight line speed. It's about being able to read the pitcher and the situation and the timing of it. How did you learn that? And, talk us through a little bit that situation when you could have walked to third base. The pitcher never even looked at you, and it's otherwise a risky move, but it was a no-risk move the way you did it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I learned how to steal bases. I think it's pretty easy to say it's from my dad. I mean, my dad was a burner, and he stole a lot of bases, but I think he got away with stealing more bags with faster pitches just because of how fast he was. And, I never had that type of speed. So for me to steal bases, I've had to, learn how to pick my spots and go when the chance, the time presents itself the best. So, I mean, I think just learning from him, talk about, what he sees from pitchers, even from a young kid, he'd say, look at his left shoulder or look at his feet or whatever it was, I would try and pick up on, more and more pitchers that would get on base and trying to, read habits and whatnot. And, I think when pitchers, they see me on first base, they know I've got good speed, but not like crazy good speed. So, they try to keep me honest over there, but I think they get a little bit lazy with trying to keep me on. And they don't think I'm going to go on. And then all of a sudden I take second base or third base. And, last night, he was just kind of one look at me and then pausing for a couple seconds. And, I gave him a couple pitches to kind of, make sure that I was right about it. And then I just thought, why not? I'm just going to go here and, try to get the third with less than two outs.
Now, Kevin, last night you swung at the first pitch three times. You swung at the second pitch. You swung at a 3-0 pitch. You're, you know, your swing rate last night. You swung at 62% of the pitches. Season on the season, you're under 40. Is that something you've been working on? Just being, I mean, we use the phrase more aggressive. Who the hell knows what being more aggressive necessarily means? But have you been working on maybe trying to swing a little earlier in the count?
Yeah. I think I've been trying to do that more with past month or so. I think I was becoming more too passive, early on in the count, and pitchers were taking advantage of, getting ahead with the first pitch, and then, second pitch I foul back, and all of a sudden I'm down two strikes, and, that happened, way too often for me, and for the past month or so, I was just trying to eliminate, taking good pitches to hit earlier in the zone. So I think, and that helps me a lot with, my timing and everything. So instead of, kind of just seeing the first pitch, I'm getting ready to swing, and that puts me on time, and now I'm on time for not only that first pitch, but for the rest of the at-bat. And that just helps me see the ball a lot longer, and even though I'm being more aggressive, I'm still going to take my walk just because I'm seeing the ball longer.
I just wonder, is that in any way a little, I know you have a great sense of the strike zone, like kind of an uncanny sense of it. We talked about that when we saw you in Fall League last year, and to the point where, you have a better sense of it than the machines do sometimes. And I wonder, if you having that great an eye, is there a tendency to kind of sit back and take pitches because you feel so confident about what's a strike and what's not a strike?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you take away that box on the TV screen and then you watch the umpire call a strike that's off the plate a little bit, then you would probably have no idea. I mean, I think that's how good these umpires are. And like, I think sometimes what that box does, a strike zone does, it kind of makes them look kind of bad when they're not even that bad. And I think, taking that pitch just off the plate, I know it's a strike, but I think, especially with two strikes, it kind of hurts me where, I see that pitch out of the hand and I'm like, that's a ball, but I go back and look at it and I'm like, okay, that's probably too close to take because I've been rung up on it so many times before. So I think moving forward, it's just, with less than two strikes, kind of sitting in my strike zone, kind of looking for a pitch that I can drive, and with two strikes, expanding my zone just, maybe even a couple of inches. So,
that's more about getting a sense not of what's a strike and what's a ball according to the absolute finite zone, but more about understanding what an umpire is going to call a strike or a ball, correct?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I can just look at pitches that have been called on me in the past, I think it's been the outside pitches, but usually what they like to call a little bit off. And I think just, with two strikes, like I said, just expanding just maybe even a couple of inches and, fouling it off and, forcing the pitcher to make another pitch.
Now, Kevin, this is September 18th. I know you've been in the Arizona Fall League, or you have been in the Arizona Fall League in the past, so you've been playing baseball, in September before. But it's September 18th, you're in the majors, you got a couple of weeks left. What are you going to take away from this when you go home this offseason? And what are your plans for the offseason in terms of getting ready for next year?
Yeah, I mean, playing this extra month of baseball, really something that I've never really done before. I play in the Fall League, but there I wasn't playing every day. I was playing every other day, so it's a little bit easier on your body. And this is something I've never really done before, but the way I look at it and the way my body feels, I mean, this is the big leagues, and it doesn't get much better than this. And I'd much rather be playing another month right now than be at home. And moving forward in my career, I'd much rather be playing another extra 2 months. So going into the last 2 weeks, I'm just going to continue to do the same thing, have fun, try to get better, and try to help my team win. And moving into the off season is just kind of relax, let my body rest a little bit, and then get back to work and get ready for spring training.
What'd your dad say? Because there's only been two father-son cycles, I believe. Gary Ward and Daryl Ward, I think, had the other one. What did Craig say?
I think he was pretty proud. I mean, when I got back to my phone after the game, he sent me a text, and then after I called him, and the text just said, hey, congratulations, welcome to the club, and I think he's pretty proud of, what he did in his career. Now he's just, being a proud dad right now, watching me do what I love.
Hey, Kevin, listen, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun watching you this year. Keep it going for the rest of the year, and we'll see you back in Toronto. Thanks again, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.